Hear the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 27. I'm beginning with verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who's called the Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Gracious God, out of our lips come praises and curses. Lord, help us today to be challenged with what you have given to us, challenged to give praise. I'm not much of a baseball fan, but I do watch when some of the local teams are winning, right? You could say I'm a fair weather fan. So I was excited as the Boston Red Sox were getting close to actually being in a World Series thing? That's what it's called, right? I told you I'm not. And they were moving in that direction, but then they lost. People had been cheering and saying they were big fans, and then, of course, all of a sudden, there was disappointment. There was sadness. I heard people saying things about some of the team members that were just downright unkind. Just imagine that, right? They'd gone from cheering for this team to jeering them. I heard a few jokes, but I'm not going to share any because this is that would be offensive, right? How do we go from cheering to jeering? How did the crowds go from giving praise to Jesus on Sunday and cursing him on Thursday? On Palm Sunday, Jesus had gathered up his disciples, and he had entered into the city on a colt. People waved their palm branches. They put their cloaks down on the ground so that there was like a carpet on which Jesus could enter the city. They sang praises. They said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." These are things that they would shout for one for whom they had high expectations. Things that they would say for someone that they expected to be their glorious king. It was a adrenaline-pumping day for the disciples. The people who were around said, "Well, of course, we have to do this." Jesus even said, "If the people don't shout it, the rocks are going to start calling out." There was an excitement. There was an anticipation. There was joy as Jesus entered the city that day. Five days later, Jesus is in the midst of a crowd, who may have been the same people. And they're shouting out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Imagine going from this glorious high to such a terrible low. Jesus, who had been cheered by his disciples and by the people of the city and the crowds, and now his disciples have run away in fear. His closest friend denied that he even knew him. One of his disciples had betrayed him for money. The religious leaders plotted to kill him. The crowds were calling to crucify him. People had seen his miracles, but now are mocking him and spitting on him. The political authorities were beating and torturing and ultimately killing him in order to maintain peace. What had changed? What had happened? Well, as we look at the scriptures, we recognize there are a few things that did happen specifically that led the people. Some of the things were things that Jesus had said. Some of the things that Jesus said had really angered the people, had disappointed the people. Their expectations was that Jesus was going to call down condemnation on Rome. Instead, Jesus called down condemnation on the religious elite. The expectation was that Jesus was going to encourage people to grab arms and fight for their freedom against Rome. And Jesus told them to humble themselves, to beat their swords into plowshares, to forgive their enemies. The other thing that happened is people were listening to voices that they shouldn't have been listening to. The religious leaders had reason to be angry with Jesus. And they started telling people things. Some of them were made up stories. Some of them were truths that were skewed. Some of them were simply because they didn't understand who Jesus really was. And so they worked up the crowd to a frenzy. And in this crowd mentality, they put aside what they had been cheering for just days before and started hollering out curses for Jesus. Fact is, their faith in Jesus was based on what they hoped Jesus would do. Their faith in Jesus was based on their own desires and their own understanding of what they thought God's plan was. But they didn't understand. And so, they literally tore Jesus' life apart. We're pretty good on this end of history to look back and judge the people, to judge the disciples, to judge the religious leaders, to judge the Roman authorities. We can recognize the evil that was part of their plan and what they were doing. And as we look back, we can say, boy, if I was there, things would have been different. We give praise to God on a weekly basis, right? Well, at least we give praise to God when things are going well for us. We give praise to God when we get our promotions. We give praise to God when we hit all the green lights on the way to work. We give praise to God when we get an award, you know. I just want to give thanks to God for my Emmy, right? We give praise to God when things are good for us. And I think about our own lives when we're quick to give praise to God. And we have a lot of reasons to do that. Sometimes we give praise to God when we've come to the end of our rope, too. When we recognize that there's nothing else that we can do and we have to turn to someone and God is the only one left. And so we say, God, confess. And we give praise to God and we put our faith in God again. Sometimes we give praise to God simply because we're in the Christian crowd. We're in a crowd that lifts up our hands and lifts up our voices. And so that's a comfortable place for us to give praise to God. But when we're in other crowds, we're a little quieter about all of that. It's good to give praise to God. It's good to give praise. And even no matter what your motivation is, it's good to give praise to God. Unfortunately, there are also times when we turn our back on God. times in which we question God's goodness, question even God's existence. When things turn bad for us, at times, people are quick to walk away from God. Happens the other way, too. Sometimes when things are going well for us, we feel like we don't no longer need God. We feel like we're self-sufficient, that maybe we've created the good times. Generally, it's when God's plan doesn't follow our plan that we are maybe going to offer that disbelief or that curse. Maybe when God's plans don't fit along with our personal understandings, maybe our traditions of how we do things, God's plan doesn't always fit with that. Of course, the problem is we often have such a small view of God. God has a hard time staying in the box that we've created for him. And when God comes out, we're sometimes displeased. What changes? What changes in our lives that we can praise God with these lips and curse him or even God's people with the same lips? Well, maybe we're listening to the wrong voices, just like the crowd did as they were listening to the religious leaders. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes we simply disapprove of God's intervention, or maybe the lack of God's intervention as we see it. God doesn't answer our prayers the way that we want him to, and so we turn our back. Or God maybe doesn't fit with our plans. We have our goals, and if God doesn't come along with us in our plans, then we'll go our way anyway. The problem is, folks, is that our faith is generally too small. Our faith, when tested, fails. It's not God failing us, but we fail in our faith. Just like the disciples who were with Jesus, and when times got tough, they ran. Peter, who said, "I will stay by your side to the very end, Jesus," who, when he was questioned if he knew him, said, "I don't know this guy," and denounced him. Like the crowds who praised Jesus when they thought that maybe he would give them more food or bring them healing or bring them freedom from their oppressors, and then turned their back when Jesus didn't. Our faith is small because our understanding of God is small. We have to confess that we have a fickle response to God in a lot of ways. But God deserves our praise. And so, I want to encourage you to think about this. I want you to encourage you to think about several things about God that will help you remember to give praise no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what's going on, no matter how God has answered or not answered your prayers. Keep these things in mind. First of all, God sees the world differently than we do. God is God, and we are not. So when God looks at the world, God sees things in a completely different way than we do. The scriptures tell us, Psalm 115:3, our God is in heaven, and what he does whatever pleases him, right? He does whatever pleases him. Or Job, who experienced questioning of God. God does wonderful things that can't be understood. Miracles that can't even be counted. Or in 1 Corinthians, God chooses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. It's not the way we look at it, right? The weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before God. See, God's ways are not our ways. If you have figured out God, if you've figured out how God is, then I can tell you your God truly is too small. For we cannot fathom the wholeness and the fullness of God. God sees the world differently than we do. And so, because of that, best place for us to put our trust and our hope and our faith is in this God who sees things more clearly than we do. God can be trusted. That's the second thing we need to remember about God. God can be trusted. God is with us, first of all, in every circumstances, okay? So no matter where you are, what you've experienced, no matter how difficult your life has been, God is with you. God is with you. Promises never to leave or forsake you. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with you and will not leave. The Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Why not? Because our understanding is limited. So we put our trust in God. Isaiah 26 verses 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because, why? Because he trusts in you. Trusts in God. So trust the Lord forever. The Lord is the rock. The Lord will keep us safe forever. You see, God truly is that foundation upon which we can build our lives. And when we put our trust and our faith there, we will experience safety. We will experience how much God can be trusted. Okay. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken and endures forever. Like building on a solid foundation, right? God can be trusted because God also loves us. We are guaranteed of God's love. This is why Jesus came. This is best demonstrated in Jesus' passion. That he would be willing to go through such suffering, that he would be willing to go through such pains, torment, in order for you and me to be brought into the presence of God, to be made holy once and for all. God didn't have to do that. But his love for you is that deep. So you can trust God. Because he loves you. And what is done is out of love. And God has clearly proved to be trustworthy also. Think of some of your personal experiences. Some of you have testimonies that speak of God's faithfulness, that how God was trustworthy, how God helped you through some of those most difficult times, proving the faithfulness of God through sometimes the most trying times of life. God is trustworthy and is shown to be trustworthy. So God can be trusted. And thirdly, we need to remember this in order to give praise to God. And that is that our understanding of God is truly limited. I already mentioned something about this. But we're only able to see God or the world from our own human perspective, from the lower story perspective, as we've been talking about in Sunday school. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, we see now only like a dim likeness of things. It's as if we're seeing them in a mirror, but someday, we'll see clearly. Someday. We can't see the big picture. But Isaiah 40:28 tells us that as for God's understanding, no one's able to fathom that. What does this do? What does this tell us? This tells us that in order for us to praise God, that it really comes down to an issue of faith for us. In order to truly lift our voices in praise, that we'll not falter when things turn against us, that will be faithful praise no matter what the circumstances are, that comes down to an issue of faith. Do I believe? Do I really trust God? Or am I putting my trust in myself? Or am I putting my trust in my church? Or am I putting my trust in something else? Am I going to truly trust God? I want you to consider for a moment how and when you give praise to God. Think about that. Are there times when you are willing to give praise to God and other times when you're not? Is it just the good times or when it's comfortable, when you're at church or in the Christian crowd? Or do you find yourself offering praise to God even in the midst of hardships and pain because you know that God is faithful and that God is there with you? You see, that's a matter of faith. I want you to think about the times maybe that you've had difficulty praising God. Maybe something has happened that has caused you to have a hard time giving praise to God. Something in your life has fallen apart, or maybe somebody who represented God to you let you down. And you found it hard to give praise to God. What has changed? What changes? You found it difficult to give praise to God. God has not changed. See, God does not change. And so that praise needs to be faithful and consistent, honoring and praising God consistently is all about faith. Faith that God knows what's going on, that God sees the bigger picture. Faith that God is trustworthy. Faith that God loves you and is always with you. Faith that's demonstrated through Jesus' suffering and death, how much God cares. And will demonstrate the full extent of His amazing love and grace and forgiveness to you. Will you praise God in the blessings? And will you give praise to God in the most trying times of life? It's a decision that we make, and it's based on how much we're willing to trust God. May you be able to trust God that much. May you be able to find praise every day in every situation. Let's pray.